Gone Cold podcast may contain violent or graphic subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
In southeast Texas, just a few miles east of Beaumont, sits the town of Vidor, population somewhere around 11,000. Most residents of the town are oil-filled roughnecks who work in Beaumont or nearby port towns on Lake Sabine or the coast of the Gulf of Mexico. Vidor is a relatively unassuming and quiet place that is perhaps best known for being the home of a handful of popular country music artists. The Possum, or George Jones, grew up there, most notably, and true crime experts might recognize the name of one Vidor High School alum, Dean Corll, a depraved and unforgivable serial killer who sexually assaulted and murdered at least 28 teenaged boys, and who has been nicknamed the Candyman and the Pied Piper. Other than that, Vidor generally hovers below the radar of news headlines, but as you're passing West Boulevard Street traveling east on Interstate 10's access road, if you don't blink, a small memorial can be seen. A steel cross adorned with flowers and daisies, the name Kathy atop it like a halo, also cut from steel and welded to the cross. It marks the site of where a woman, 34-year-old Lucille Catherine Page, was found dead in her car in the very ditch behind the memorial in the early morning hours of Tuesday, May 14, 1991. No matter if you blink, however, there's another site in Vidor that's impossible to miss on Interstate 10 traveling west toward Rose City, a roadside billboard that reads, "Steve Page brutally murdered his wife in 1991. Vidor PD does not want to solve this case. I believe they took a bribe. The Attorney General should investigate." The person responsible for erecting the billboard isn't a mystery. The last line reads, "James Fulton, her father." Born in Mississippi and raised in Vidor since she was just a baby, Lucille Catherine Page, known to all as Kathy, was a joy to be around. Her parents, Dorothy Ann and James Marlon Fulton Sr., had five other children, Kathy's three sisters, Sherry, Diane, and Jan, and her brothers, Joey and James Jr. Kathy and her sisters, more or less, had all the Vidor boys' heads turning and hearts spinning, and the young male population likely grieved when in 1978, at 21 years old, Kathy married the young man she'd fallen head over heels for, a future insurance salesman named Steve Page, also a lifelong Vidor resident. Though Kathy's sister, Sherry, was less than impressed with Steve, who she thought was arrogant and not a good fit for her sister, Kathy's other sister, Diane, liked him at first, and so did her father. Regardless, Kathy and Steve welcomed a daughter, Erin, into their lives not long after they tied the knot, and a few years later still, their second daughter, Monica, was born. Kathy's daughter, Erin, said that her mother dreamed of being an inventor. At craft markets and fairs, Kathy would snap up items that interested her, dissect them, and figure out how to make them herself. Kathy often proclaimed while watching infomercials that she, too, had the very idea of what was being presented as the latest and greatest gadget. Erin still cherishes the heart-shaped jewelry box that her mother made for her. Her sister Monica, and their mother were close, a closeness that Kathy, beyond the bond naturally felt by a loving mother toward her daughters, was important to her to nourish. Kathy and Steve, however, were growing further apart. Their relationship anything but smooth sailing. The marriage proved to be a constant cycle of breakups and makeups. Steve slept on the couch more often than not. And on May 6, 1991, Kathy and Steve had an intense argument that resulted in Kathy asking for a separation. Steve moved out of the home the couple shared, all but immediately, and moved into an apartment almost right across Interstate 10, the highway that wasn't much more than 100 yards north from what was now simply Kathy's house. It was a turning point for both Steve and Kathy, and for the children particularly, Kathy wanted to keep it clean and friendly. It was likely a godsend to Kathy's sister, Sherry, who later told of the abuse that Kathy endured at the hands of Steve, not only physical, but also mental and emotional. She said Steve controlled her and sometimes beat her. And leading up to the separation in May, Sherry says she began making note of bruises on her sister's arms. Steve denied any form of abuse at his hands. From virtually every angle looking in, it appeared that this was the beginning of the end for the couple's marriage, and some thought it was an inevitability. No one, though, ever imagined the ending that was to come. The third week of May, 1991, started out like any other, though since Sunday, May 12th, was Mother's Day, Kathy and Steve put their problems aside so that they could give the kids a good day. They hit the beach, and later, Steve fried shrimp for dinner at the house. When the day was done, Steve returned to his apartment. The next day, Monday, May 13th, a school day, Steve came over to Kathy's house in the morning to help ready his daughters for school and drove them there. Both 6-year-old Monica and 11-year-old Aaron had baseball games that evening, and though Kathy and Steve arrived at the ballpark in separate vehicles to cheer them on, they'd spent at least some of the afternoon together washing Kathy's car, Steve would later report. At the ballpark, Kathy wore blue jeans and a green shirt. Monica's baseball game ended first, and Kathy took her home. Steve stuck around until 9 p.m., when Aaron's game ended, and dropped her off at home sometime between 9:30 and 10. Around the same time, Kathy phoned her friend Charlotte. She told Charlotte that she was going out with a guy she'd been seeing, and since she'd asked Steve to come watch Monica and Aaron, telling him that she was going out with Charlotte, Kathy made it a point to remind her friend not to answer her phone until at least midnight, in case Steve called to check up on her. It was, according to Charlotte, the first and only time Kathy ever made such a request from her. When Steve arrived back at Kathy's home to watch the kids, he later said, she wasn't clothed, rather, she was wrapped in a towel, and according to him, he made an advance toward her. She complied, and Steve and Kathy had sex on the carpet on the living room floor. Kathy got dressed and left the house not long after they had sex, Steve said, sometime between 11:15 and 11:30 p.m., wearing white pants and white shoes, a watch, earrings, her wedding band, and what has been reported as both a gray and a blue blouse. After watching a little television, presumably finding little that piqued his interest, Steve stripped down to his boxer shorts and crawled into bed at some point between 11:30 p.m. and midnight, he said, sleeping in the same room as Monica in Kathy's bed. Kathy's friend Charlotte picked up her ringing telephone at approximately 2:30 a.m., now May the 14th, but the caller didn't speak before hanging up. Assuming it was Steve Page, as she did with the other hang-up calls she'd recently received, she hung up on her end and thought little else about it at the time. Steve's sister-in-law told a Fulton family member later that he found a phone number on a notepad and called it. It was the number of a motel. She said Steve hung up on both calls without speaking as they were answered. At approximately 4:20 a.m., now the early morning hours of Tuesday, May 14, 1991, a newspaper carrier traveling the eastbound access road of Interstate Highway 10 came across a black Mercury Tracer nose down in a ditch at a 45-degree angle at the turnoff to West Bolivar Street, around 100 yards away from Kathy's home. There was a woman in the vehicle, and she wasn't moving. The newspaper carrier alerted authorities of what he'd found. At 5 a.m., Vidor Police Department Detective Ray Mosley arrived there. Detective Mosley began assessing the situation. It appeared to be an accident at first glance, but it didn't take the seasoned law enforcement officer much inspection for him to determine that it wasn't that simple. Something wasn't right. He took note that the vehicle was pointing away from Kathy's home, as if she'd been coming from, not going to, the house. Mosley also noticed that there was little damage to the car. The ground around the scene provided no evidence that the brakes had been applied. It was as if the car had slowly rolled into the ditch. Detective Mosley determined that the woman in the vehicle was deceased, and since he'd grown up knowing Steve Page, he knew exactly who the woman who laid lifeless in the driver's seat was, Kathy Page. Mosley removed her body and placed her in an ambulance that had arrived on the scene, but not before taking a hard look at the inside of the vehicle, as well as making note of what she wore and what she didn't. Detective Mosley noted that Kathy wore no jewelry. Her watch and wedding band were not on her body. She had no makeup on. Upon further inspection of the vehicle, Detective Mosley noted that the inside was clean. The only blood present was on the headrest. Remarkably, there was little to no clutter in the vehicle either, only two Whataburger beverage cups on the floorboard. Kathy's purse, in fact, sat upright in the passenger side seat. Her body wasn't positioned in a way that was consistent with an impact crash either. If Kathy had lost control and crashed nose first into the ditch, her body should have been laying against the steering wheel. But Kathy was laying against the seat, her head tilted right but still leaning against the headrest, as if she'd been placed in the car after it came to rest in the ditch. Kathy was on top of the disengaged seatbelt. Also telling was the position of the rearview mirror, which was turned so dramatically to the left that it touched the inside of the windshield, as if an individual bumped it while placing her there. Signs that Kathy had been strangled were strikingly apparent. So much so that police on the scene immediately assumed that it was the cause of her death. It was abundantly clear to police that the scene, which was poorly constructed to look like Kathy had made a bad turn and wound up in a ditch so shallow that it likely wouldn't have killed her if she had crashed, was staged. Kathy was taken to the hospital, and the car was removed and taken to police impound. Knowing Steve and Kathy Page, Detective Mosley, alongside Vidor Police Lieutenant Arthur Carter, headed directly to the home the couple had so recently shared, where Steve had fallen asleep, he claimed, after Kathy had left the night before. There were no lights on when Mosley arrived, and Steve appeared at the door not long after Detective Mosley began knocking. Steve was clad in only boxer shorts and told the detective that Kathy wasn't there, immediately asking Mosley if he was there regarding her. Steve stepped out of the door and looked at where his vehicle was parked and where Kathy's vehicle should have been parked. The detective, though, still hadn't said a word about Kathy. The three men entered the house. Steve didn't turn on the light. Lieutenant Carter told Steve that Kathy was dead, that she'd been strangled, and he threw himself on the couch and wailed. But upon shining his flashlight towards Steve, Mosley noticed there were no tears. Detective Mosley asked Steve to call Kathy's family, and though the detective neglected to follow him as he retrieved an address book from another room, he began trailing Steve every time after that, and every time, as Steve noticed he was being followed, he'd turn back from his intended route. Steve Page saw the emergency vehicle lights from the house, but never asked to see Kathy, his wife, in the approximately 20 minutes the police were there. And though he never turned on the lights in the house, even after he was asked to, Detective Mosley noticed a small pile of clothing on the living room floor.
Care of is a subscription service that delivers vitamins and supplements customized for your specific health needs. Care of delivers daily vitamins and supplement packs, all customized to your recommendations, so you're only taking what you need. I take Care of vitamins every morning, and it really is easy and convenient, not just because they make sure you're getting exactly what you need, but they also come in such convenient packaging. So I've got the box on my desk, and it has my daily vitamins in individual packets, so I just grab one out of the box each morning. So let's grab one now and see what it says. So this one says, "Hi, Christina. Today's quote, believe you can and you're halfway there. Teddy Roosevelt." I just love that. It's so fun to start out your day with a great little quote and all the vitamins you need. Care of's fun online quiz asks you about your diet, health goals, and lifestyle choices and takes only 5 minutes to find out your personal, scientifically backed vitamin and supplement recommendations. Care of makes sure what you're putting into your body comes from the best sources, backed by honest guidance and transparency, all available to you on their website. So give yourself support this season with the Boost. Whether you're looking for energy, better sleep, to maintain stress, or something else to help you feel your healthiest, starting July 15th, 2019, for 25% off your first Care of order, go to takecareof.com and enter the promo code GONECOLD. That's 25% off at takecareof.com and promo code GONECOLD. Bye, y'all.
Shortly after Kathy Page was found in her car, just 100 yards from her home, and just before police arrived at the house and spoke with Steve Page about her death, sometime between 5:30 and 6 a.m. on Tuesday, May 14, 1991, Kathy's friend, Charlotte, received a call from Steve. Kathy hadn't returned home, he told her, and he was worried. She was still covering for her friend at this point. Kathy had been out with a man the night before, but told Steve she was hanging out with Charlotte. Charlotte told Steve that her and Kathy had been out together, and that Kathy left her house at 2 a.m. to return home. After hanging up with Steve, Charlotte quickly called the motel where Kathy's love interest was staying, but no one picked up the phone in his room. Steve later testified in court that police arrived only minutes after his call to Charlotte, and that he was putting on shorts as he answered the door to let them in. But police said Steve wasn't wearing shorts, or even attempting to put them on, when he opened the door to them. This was far from the last inconsistent account, or seemingly outright lie, Steve Page would tell. Much of Kathy and Steve's family visited the home the day Kathy was killed. Their accounts can get confusing to a point, so please bear with us. Steve Page either called Dorothy Fulton, Kathy's mother, just before police arrived and spoke to him at Kathy's home, or court testimony detailing the call is inaccurate concerning the time, as Dorothy testified that Steve called her just before 6 a.m., telling her something bad happened to Kathy. If the call was made before police arrived, it is a damning witness account against Steve Page, and an act of sheer stupidity rivaled only by the terrible attempt at making Kathy's death appear as an auto accident. Either way, Dorothy and James Fulton arrived at Kathy's home not long after Detective Mosley and Lieutenant Carter left. The Fultons said that Steve was doing laundry. He was barefoot, wearing a white t-shirt and red shorts, pacing the living room, they said, continually wiping his hands with a wet cloth. Steve had a scratch across his nose, the Fultons reported. The question of whether or not Steve was indeed doing laundry was a contentious one. One witness, who arrived at the home bearing coffee sometime between 6:30 and 7:30 a.m., and who stayed for about 15 minutes, noticed no signs of laundry being done, and Steve's brother, who arrived at the home around 6:30 a.m., saw or heard no signs either, he said. But backing up the Fultons' claim was a reverend, presumably at the home to offer spiritual support, who said he heard a washer's spin cycle as he used the home's phone located in the kitchen. He also noted that the home remained dark, with no lights on. Dorothy Fulton made note that her daughter's bed hadn't been slept in. Most of the accounts of witnesses, up to this point, perhaps, can be explained as odd habits or Steve's inability to sit still while processing what happened to Kathy. But what Steve Page told the Fulton family about Kathy's death and why he didn't want police searching the home are difficult problems for anyone, let alone Steve, to explain away. When Kathy's sister Jan arrived at the house that morning, sometime around 6:15, she witnessed him doing laundry and carrying clothes to the washer. There was what Jan called a lot of laundry on hangers laying around on the floor. She asked Steve what happened to Kathy, and he told her, she testified, that Kathy had been out drinking. She was probably loaded up on booze and Valium, Steve said, and she drove her car into the ditch and died, probably breaking her neck. He went on to tell James and Dorothy Fulton that he didn't want the police coming into the house because they'd probably find blood on the carpet in the living room, as that's where Kathy shaved her legs. It should be noted here that on her blog, Kathy's daughter Erin says that her mother did in fact shave her legs there using lotion and a cup of water. When Kathy's sister Jan asked Steve if he killed Kathy, he told her he didn't, that he didn't even know she had a boyfriend. Steve went on to tell her that he called and spoke to Charlotte at 2:30 a.m., and that she told him that Kathy had just left. The only phone call Charlotte received at that time, according to her, however, was a hang-up call. Jan said Steve repeatedly changed the time of the call to Charlotte. At about 7 a.m., James Fulton returned to his daughter's home after leaving to tell Kathy's sister, Sherry, the news of her death in person. The Vidor police returned not long after to ask Steve's approval to perform an autopsy on Kathy's body. Steve Page told police that he didn't want anyone cutting on his wife's body, but James Fulton told police to proceed with the autopsy of his daughter. James later testified about the reason Steve didn't want them in his home, that he was afraid they'd find blood where Kathy shaved her legs, but he tried to convince him to let them in to have a look around anyway. Steve wouldn't let up, though, insisting that he had some friends who police had planted evidence on, and he didn't want them setting him up for Kathy's death. The rest of the family was notified that Kathy had passed, and at about 11 a.m., Dorothy Fulton left the house. Her husband, James, had already left. Kathy and Steve's daughters, Erin and Monica, remained asleep while at least some of this went on, They woke up at 8 a.m. No one at any time reported to have seen blood anywhere in the home. However, many individuals noted Steve Page telling them about Kathy cutting herself while shaving her legs in the living room. James Bolton, again, went to Kathy's home sometime a little after 11 a.m., where he found Steve in Kathy's bed asleep. He observed clothing on the floor. A little later, Dorothy Fulton was informed that her daughter didn't die from a terrible auto accident, but that she'd been strangled to death. That afternoon, Steve Page was asked to come to the Vidor police station to be interviewed. Detective Mosley performed the questioning, and when asked why he wouldn't let them into the home, Steve told him that he was afraid they'd find something that incriminated him. Police examined Steve, his face and his hands, and found no apparent cuts, scratches, or bruising. They asked Steve where his wife's jewelry was, if he'd seen it, and he said he'd inspected her jewelry box and noticed that her watches were gone. The following day, Wednesday, May 15, 1991, at 7 a.m., Kathy's brother, James Fulton Jr., or Jimmy, came to see Steve Page at Kathy's home. Jimmy had one question in particular that he wanted to ask him. "Did you kill my sister?" Steve told Jimmy that he did not kill Kathy, that he loved her and would never do anything to harm her. According to Jimmy, Steve went on about how Kathy was seeing other people and that when he called Charlotte Tuesday morning at 3 a.m., she told him that she and Kathy hadn't seen each other that night. Later, Steve visited Kathy's mother, Dorothy, and implored that she not believe the lies people are telling, that he killed Kathy. Steve told Dorothy that Kathy was on cocaine during the night and Valium by day, and, oddly, made it a point to mention to her that he'd spilled some grease on the living room carpet. The grease spill, like the claims by some that Steve was doing laundry in the early morning on Tuesday just after Kathy's body was discovered, would be another odd detail that many would make inferences from. When Kathy's sister, Sherry, visited the home that day, she testified that she asked Steve Page about a strong chemical smell in the house. "He was cleaning the carpet," she says he told her, "because he'd spilled some grease." The establishment that Steve rented the carpet cleaner from confirmed that he'd indeed been in to get the machine and was accompanied by two women and a little girl. Again, no witnesses claimed to have seen blood on the carpet or anywhere else. Steve and Kathy's daughter, Erin, says that her father did spill grease on the carpet, and that she witnessed it, though she says it was at least 2 days after Kathy was found dead. Kathy's funeral was held on Friday, May 17, 1991, and she was buried at Restlawn Memorial Park Cemetery in Vidor. Kathy's sister, Sherry, later testified that Steve continually referred to Kathy's body as "it" during the service and that though he seemed distraught, he did not cry. Steve's mother, though, described her son as very emotional during the funeral. A Restlawn Cemetery caretaker later said in court that he saw Steve Page kick an arrangement of flowers at the site where Kathy was to be buried as he waited for the arrival of her body, and he also witnessed Steve remove flowers from her grave in the subsequent months and years, sometimes even taking pictures of the grave with the flowers present in the vase there, and then removing the flowers and taking pictures without them. Years after Kathy was buried, in 1995, Steve Page was indicted for desecrating his wife's grave. A video of Steve picking up flowers from the grave, throwing them down, and kicking them was shown in court. The video was taken by a private investigator who'd staked out the site to catch the culprit. They were plastic, oh so cheap, Steve Page later told a reporter for the Daily Mail, adding, "They weren't even real flowers, plastic, cheap flowers they put up there just for this incident." Kathy's family, the Fultons, he said, had placed them there to taunt Steve into the act. "And they got what they wanted. They baited me into it, and I fell hook, line, and sinker," Steve Page said. The facts, circumstances, and accounts discussed here, both before the funeral and the days, months, and years that followed, are far from the only oddities surrounding the death of Kathy Page. We'll explore plenty more on the next episode of Gone Cold. If you have any information about the murder of Kathy Page, please call the Vidor Police Department at 409-769-4561. We'd like to thank our good pal Erica over at Southern Fried True Crime for her help with researching Kathy's case. If you haven't heard her episode regarding the case, you need to. It's an incredible take, as is all the work she does. Thanks, Erica. The Orange Leader, Port Arthur News, DailyMail.com, the television programs Cold Justice and Unsolved Mysteries, The Examiner, The Beaumont Enterprise, The Houston Chronicle, the website TexasBillboard.blogspot.com, and court documents were used as sources for this episode. If you'd like to support Gone Cold Podcast, Texas True Crime, you can do so by visiting patreon.com/gonecoldpodcast. There are several varying donation levels to choose from, with perks to go along with each, including ad-free listening at all levels. Donations help us cover the costs of research and production, and we can't thank y'all enough for your support. Thanks for listening, y'all. Thank you.